This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 11th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. All along the way, we'll discuss this morning's USDA crop production report, including an interview with U of I Extension Ag economist Darrell Good. As you'll hear, the USDA says there is a record-sized corn crop in the offing. It all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. Before we get started on this Friday afternoon, those two same notes you've been hearing about all week. Tuesday of next week, we plan to come to you live from the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. Come visit us in Campus Town. That's otherwise known as the Twilight Ballroom, situated between the Expo Building and the Coliseum. And make sure you put this one on your must-do schedule. Thursday, August the 17th, is the 50th Agronomy Day right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. That's next week. The morning kicks off at 7 a.m. I'll be dispatching the wagons into the research plot. Come early. It'll take most of the morning to get through all those plots. It is absolutely free. There is a noon-hour lunch. You can buy that for a nominal fee. And a keynote address at that hour from Eldon Gould. He's a Northern Illinois farmer and the administrator of the USDA RMA. That's the Risk Management Agency. Think crop insurance. Come see us on the South Farms right here in Urbana at 7 a.m. next Thursday morning, August the 17th. It's less than a week away.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this after USDA released a fairly bearish report for the corn. Futures dropped 14 cents in the nearby September contract. 224 and three quarters was the settlement price there. December futures at 241 and three quarters in the corn pit, off 14. The March futures at 256 and three quarters were down 13 and a quarter. And December next year off 11 and a half cents at $2.91. Soy complex bean futures 551 were off 6 cents. September futures at 555 and a quarter down 6 cents. And November's at 568 and a quarter down 6 cents. November of next year down 6 3/4 at 625 and a half. From the wheat pit in Chicago, September contract there at $3.73 and three quarters down 12 and three quarters. December futures at 395 and a half, we're down 12 for the day. And Kansas City wheat off 15 cents at $4.54 and one quarter cents. Soybean meal, August contract in the products in Chicago, $159.30, up $1.40. August soybean oil at $25.43, down 67 cents. Mercantile exchange numbers, feeder cattle August contract $117.35, they were off a nickel for the day. August live cattle at $88.80. They were up 32 and a half cents in the October live cattle at $92.55 a hundredweight. They finished 17 and a half cents higher. Lean hogs finished the August contract at $71.82. They finished 30 cents higher on the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange and to discuss the numbers from USDA's crop production report released at 7:30 Central Time this morning is Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Chuck.
You too, Todd. Good to be here today.
Have you heard? Is our friend doing okay? I know he was having some problems with an impacted molar.
Well, it's out. That's the good news. It's kind of like the market. It's out, but he's pretty swollen. So he'll be better and back at it by Monday. I talked to him a little bit.
That is kind of like the markets. It's a rough afternoon in the markets and a rough afternoon, I know, for Mike, or a rough day there. So hopefully he will recover and the markets might as well. 14 cents lower after this morning's USDA release, which showed a 10.976 billion bushel corn crop. The trade had expected that on average to be at 10.795. The carryout for next year now at 1.232 billion. That's up from 1.077 billion. Was this low enough?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think what talking producers today, there's a couple good things we can glean out of this report. If we go down and we keep going down, there's LDP that wasn't talked about much before. And the second thing is last year, Todd, we had a 2 billion plus bushel carryover, and this year we're close to 1.2. So last year we had a good opportunity to market rallied into winter, and some of the world stocks on wheat are lower. So there's some reasons that there's some good things that can come out of this report.
And LDP may very well be one of those. How often should farmers be checking LDP as they get into their harvest season? Do they need to keep track of that all the way through?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we can expect as big an LDP as we had last year. Certainly Katrina was part of that. But I think at this point, maybe a 20 or 25 cent LDP is a number we might shoot for.
You think that a big crop will get bigger as we get through September and October and the December estimates?
Well, there's a lot of talk about this number today. This was the highest August yield we've ever had from USDA. I think what they saw, the corn crop was probably surveyed at one of its better times. You know, I think that's probably the peak of the yield. Might go up a little bit again, but the market really has got to start focusing on demand, and I think all those ethanol plants coming are certainly going to be a factor.
It was the highest August yield. It was also the second highest yield on record for a crop in the United States in terms of yield per bushel at 152.2. Third highest total harvest at just under 11 billion bushels. How do you expect producers to play it next week?
Well, I think, again, most of the guys, I think, even our listeners, have sold a chunk of their corn out there. And I think that the bushels that aren't sold, that have to be sold off the combine, those are ones that guys need to focus on finding a home for and getting those sold.
Turn your attention to the bean market then. Beans, a 2.928 billion bushel crop, a little lower than expected. Carry out on the beans lowered to 450 million bushels, but there are an awful lot of beans that are still out there in storage, and it seems to me that there may be a big problem in terms of a glut right here at the harvest time as some of those come out from under loan.
Yeah, we've got to digest these bushels. I think the other reason the market was a little bit soft today was that the rains came after the report data was calculated, and so I think the trade's kind of feeling that the rains have helped the yield, and it'll probably go up a little bit in the next report. So if guys got those old crop beans, I mean, they've got to find a home for them to make room for the new crop, and I think that's the issue for both corn and beans in the next 30 to 45 days.
Yeah, finding a home. Are you willing to store commercially even if you need to all the way through next year?
I think so. I think, again, when you look out there, the factors that made the market go up last year are probably more positive than they were a year ago. So I guess our feeling is there are some reasons out there that we should hold on to this crop if we don't get it sold.
And hold on to both crops, corn and soybeans?
Our preference would probably be corn because, again, you got a better demand base coming with the ethanol plants, and certainly world stocks of beans are still pretty big.
So,
you know, if you got a choice, I guess we'd probably go for the corn.
Do you have a strategy for those unpriced bushels that you may have left at this point?
If we get some bounces next week, I mean, you pretty much got to let them go. I think after this, you know, break here, this market will have some recoveries, but I don't think we could say the lows are in for the market yet.
Anything else out of the USDA reports that you saw from feed usage or other changes?
Well, we got a good livestock base out there. They're making money. We've seen the livestock futures push up. We're pushing the pork out the door. On the other side, the wheat stocks are some of the tightest in many years in the world out there. So it's going to be an interesting battle when we look out there on that acreage mixture. If we need 4 million more corn acres next year for ethanol, when we drop down like this, and that's going to be an interesting fight next winter again.
It should be an interesting fight. And USDA, I think, raised feed usage by 75 million bushels in this recent crop estimate, didn't they?
Yes, and the pork guys and cattle guys are making good money. And when we got the Japanese market open back up, certainly there's been some, you know, death loss with the heat out west and some liquidation of that cattle herd. But bottom line, I think the livestock guys are going to find a great buy, Todd. That's one thing to look at here. If you're a livestock feeder, these may be some of the lower cash prices that you'll be able to find for the coming year.
Better lock it in if you get the opportunity.
You bet. This is the time to get after it.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
No, like I say, there's always kind of make lemonade out of lemons. If you look at the numbers, you're kind of depressed, but there are some good things from LDP that we might be able to get that we didn't think were possible.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks. Todd.
Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Usually Mike Zuzulo joins us from that office on Friday afternoons. Mike out with some problems with an impacted tooth that he had. We wish him the best as he recovers, and we'll talk to him again next week right here on AM 580.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, Steve Hilberg. AM 580's own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, says tonight across the two-state region, in the north, it'll be mostly clear. In the central sections, partly cloudy. In the south, mostly cloudy. A few lingering showers possible early, then becoming partly cloudy. Lows will range from 53, he says, in northeastern Indiana to 67. In the far southern part of Illinois, tomorrow mostly sunny skies. Highs will range, says Ed, from 78 near Lake Michigan to 88 in the southwestern part of Illinois. The extended forecast, Sunday, mostly sunny. Monday, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, some scattered showers and thunderstorms as well. Tuesday in the north and central sections, partly to mostly sunny.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. USDA has released its August estimate of the corn and soybean crops in the United States. The corn crop down a percentage point from last year, but still manages to be the third largest on record at 10.976 billion bushels, with an average yield of 152.2 bushels the acre. The soybean harvest estimated 5% smaller than 2005, on average yield of 39.6 bushels the acre, totaling 2.93 billion bushels to put away this fall. University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Goods here to explore the report and its potential impact. Daryl, most were surprised USDA tallied 152.2 average corn yield nationwide. Was it Iowa that kicked that number up?
I think to a big extent it was, Todd. I mean, when we look at the weekly crop condition reports, we have seen improving crop conditions in Illinois, and not so surprised by the 173 bushel average yield here, but the Iowa crop conditions have been less, a smaller percentage of the crop rated good or excellent, and a lot more discussion coming out of Iowa about poor crops, yet that forecast is at 173 bushels as well. So I think that's a bit of a surprise and probably accounts for a good portion of the increase in yield over expectations for the August report.
As you take a look at the rest of the numbers for the corn, anything that surprised you more than the 152.2?
I think a little bit surprised on the old crop, Todd. I thought maybe USDA would bump their export projection one more time for the 05-06 marketing year. I just noted that with 4 weeks left in the year, we only need to average about 40 million bushels a week to reach their projection. In recent weeks, we've been doing over 50 million a week. So potentially we could see exports, you know, a few million bushels higher. Overall, that probably doesn't change the supply-demand balance very much, but wouldn't be surprised to see that inch up a little bit. The other number I think that, while not a surprise, but is encouraging, USDA did increase their forecast of feed and residual use of corn for the year ahead. And I think part of that, much of it perhaps, is that we are looking at smaller crops for oats, barley, sorghum, the competing feed grains. Corn is going to have a little less competition during the year ahead. So overall, a very strong demand picture being put forth by USDA, and we'll have to wait and see where that crop actually comes in.
As we take a look at the numbers you just talked about, the carryover figures then showing an unchanged carryover for this year now at 2.062 billion bushels for the corn crop. Next year, raised up at 1.232 billion bushels, that up from 1.077. So the crop's not going to be quite as tight next fall as it was expected to be.
No, that's right. I mean, 1.2 billion carryover is getting a little snug, but I think as long as that number is projected to be above a billion bushels, the market doesn't get too concerned at this juncture. The big crunch is going to come, I think, in the spring, and the question is going to start being asked, are we going to get an acreage response in 2007 to this escalating use of ethanol and this tight stock situation? We probably need to see a pretty good jump in corn acres next year, and that'll become the issue as we move into spring planting time.
Carryover for this year in the beans, by the way, now at 515, and that is down from the 545 estimate in July for the current marketing season. The next year at 450 million bushels, down from 560. So the beans should be getting a little tighter as we get into the following year.
Beans a little tighter. You know, there's been talk all along from some sectors that we could see 700 million bushel carryover on soybeans, and certainly that potential was there if we had a yield of rather than 39.6, if we were looking at 42, 43 bushels per acre, we'd be looking at a lot of higher carryover. But 450, that number keeps coming down. It's certainly not a shortage of soybeans, but it does put a little more pressure, I think, on the South American crop in the year ahead, that if for some reason we do see a significant shortfall there, then all of a sudden things look a little snug on soybeans as well. But we've got a long way to go before we really start talking about a shortage of soybeans.
Prior to and just after the crop production report, many of the pundits and the analysts were saying, well, store it all, corn and soybeans. In reality, can that be the case?
Well, we clearly can't store it all, and the market won't allow us to store it all because we have to use some every day, and we use millions of bushels every day. So we have to market some of it, and clearly some of the crop has been forward priced and will be delivered for use at harvest time. But I think, you know, in the corn market, certainly the weak bases and the large carry that we've seen has said we should try to store as much of the crop as we can as producers. The question has always been, however, should that crop be stored unpriced, or should it be stored basically hedged in order to capture those much higher prices that the market has offered out front? And right now, in looking back, it says, yeah, we should plan to store that crop, but we should have had it hedged going into this report. So that question will continue to be raised. Do I just want to store that crop expecting that cash prices will eventually catch up to the futures market, or do I want to get that futures price locked in and store it hedged?
And how do you deal with the soybeans in this, which I suspect almost none have been marketed ahead at this point and will have to be either sold or stored over the scale?
Yeah, we've got a serious problem, I think, with soybeans short term because we're still carrying large quantities of old crop soybeans with 515 million bushel carryover. We've just got a lot of old crop beans out there that some producers are going to have to move before the new harvest, particularly as the loans on those beans mature here in August and September. And then without much of a carry in the market, even though we have a weak nearby basis, it's the soybean market is really not screaming to store the crop like corn is. So there could be a bit of a supply rush here as we go into very late summer and early harvest period. A lot of beans looking for a place to go.
And I suppose finally the real big question of the day on crop production estimates is what happens in September?
That really is the question, and markets very quickly look forward to that report. On one hand, you hear analysts right after the report saying a big corn number, big crops get bigger. Let's expect this number to go up in September, October. Others are, you know, always a little contrarian on that, saying when USDA actually gets into the field and is able to harvest some grain and we find that maybe the kernels are a little light or we didn't pollinate all the way to the end of the cob, some are expecting that yield number will come down. So that's what makes markets. We got people on both sides. It just seems to me that given the crop ratings in August and the fairly decent weather we've had the first half of August, I would really not anticipate the corn number coming down, and I think you could make an argument that the soybean estimate may get a little larger because of a widespread rainfall first half of August.
Daryl, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Todd.
University of Illinois Extension ag economist Daryl Good. I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Usually on a Friday afternoon, Bruce Foster, the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, joins us to take a look at what's happened in the cash grain market. Bruce, out of the office this afternoon, Brian Stark of the Andersons right here in Champaign County, graciously agreeing to come on the air with us on what's been a pretty rough day in the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Brian. Tell me about the marketplace as you saw it after the opening of trade today, please.
Well, I think it obviously the report kind of surprised a few people. I think half of us probably agreed that the crop was better than the USDA's yield they used at the end of June of 149. I don't know if we quite, were expecting a 152 mark. I think the real surprising number was the bean number, and I think you could tell by the market's reaction that the traders didn't believe it using a 39.5 national yield down from 40.5, and basically discounting the beans in some states that it looked a little bit, scrutinous. So the trade kind of reacted strongly towards the negative side in corn, and the beans never really got off to that positive start most people thought they'd have.
And the positive start didn't come because the rains have fallen since probably the USDA was out and taking counts and getting estimates.
That is correct. Most of the estimates are finished accumulating by the end of July. So we've had a two-week time frame, which is generally the critical point in the beans growing stage at the beginning of August that I'm sure wasn't counted in this report, and the traders were quick to discourage the number that they used.
As we take a look at the cash grain basis for both the corn and the soybeans, in particular for the corn, it's been wide. In part, that's built in the energy portion of that and how much it actually cost, how much more it cost to move corn around the nation by rail or by river, either one. Are your expectations for that to get wider now that there's a bigger crop on hand?
I would suspect we're going into a harvest where we've got a pretty good carryout in both corn and beans just this year, and a lot of facilities are carrying grain over from this past crop year. So there's definitely a more positive possibility that we're going to see maybe a little bit wider basis as we move forward. I would lean that direction towards rather than a narrowing basis, just because space is at a premium and the logistics during fall aren't going to be the greatest.
What farmers ask you most often today on the phone?
Well, I think the main thing is what to do now. And at this point, I think, you don't want to lock in your basis as wide as it is. But at the same token, guys that need to get something done, you may want to think about pricing a little bit, at least on a hedge-to-arrive contract, getting something locked in before we continue to slide south, because it sure feels really soft. And I think the funds liquidated quite a bit of their position again today with the bearish report.
Speaking of prices, what are your bids for the day?
Today we are at 207 for cash and fall corn, and January's 239. Cash and fall beans, 533, and January's 564.
We appreciate it much.
Thank you.
Brian Stark with the Andersons joining us here on this Friday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. We'll return in just 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A 17-year veteran of the Bloomington, Illinois Police Department says he's innocent of all the charges in a 35-count indictment that accuses him of sexually assaulting four women. Sergeant Jeff Pilo entered a not guilty plea today during an appearance in McLean County Court. Authorities in Chicago searched a plane at Midway Airport today amid reports of a suspicious package, but the Transportation Security Administration reports the Southwest Airlines plane, arriving from Detroit, was deemed safe after the search. A Southwest spokesperson says the 117 passengers and 5 crew members all got off the plane before it was searched. Now that the search is over, she says the plane would continue on to Nashville. The Illinois State Board of Elections says an advisory referendum opposing gay marriage doesn't have enough signatures to get on the ballot for the November election. But the executive director of the conservative Illinois Family Institute says they plan to appeal the elections board ruling in court. The referendum would ask voters if the Illinois Constitution should be amended to ban same-sex marriage. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels says he wants to increase the use of homegrown fuels in his state. He's creating a new council to oversee an energy plan that includes increasing the use of Indiana coal by including clean fuel technology in new electric power plants. It turns out the Champaign County Board has less power to ban smoking in bars and restaurants than some people thought. Members of the County Board Policy Committee were surprised this week to be told that a new state law gave them the power to pass smoking regulations for villages. But Assistant State's Attorney Susan McGrath says they were misled by an early draft of the law. In reality, the law only gives counties the power to regulate smoking in unincorporated areas. County Board Vice Chairman Steve Beckett says he's relieved to hear the county's powers don't extend so far. He still says county board members should think long and hard before enacting any regulations on smoking. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage, WILL Urbana. This is the broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're joined on this Friday afternoon, August the 11th, as we are every Friday, by Steve Hilbert, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey, right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What's our weather for the weekend look like?
Well, it looks like we're going to get a little bit of a break from all the humidity of the last week or two, and also a break from the rain. Those are the areas that really need a break. And it looks like it's going to be very nice, actually. Temperatures probably at or slightly below normal for the next day or 2 days, probably. A little bit of a warm-up and then another front coming through next week, which could bring us another round of showers and thunderstorms, perhaps on Monday, and then a fairly quiet end of the week. But it looks like most of the Midwest is going to be free of the extreme heat that really saw us to the end of July and first couple days of August.
It's been a pretty good harvest season. It's been a pretty good growing season across the Midwest. Can you take a look at the numbers that have been generated out of the Illinois State Water Survey on crop sizes, please?
Yeah, the models here at the Climate Center that ran basically effective Monday, so it doesn't take into account the latest rain, showing for soybeans, showing actually a slight increase across the belt in yield, about 0.7 of a bushel per acre. And looking at about a median yield now of about 45.1 at this point. Corn is a little bit of a different picture. It basically showing no change with declines in the eastern portion of the Corn Belt where there was not as much rain and some hot weather that affected yields, and then some improvement in actually the western Corn Belt where we did get rain. As you know, much of Minnesota and Iowa had been very dry up until about a week or two ago, and then so far now in August, rainfall is well above normal. Northern Missouri through most of Iowa into southern Minnesota, and we did see some improvements showing up there, not just in the model, but actually in the actual crop condition reports were reflecting some improvement in the crops there as well. So we're about 143 bushels an acre over the region.
Yeah, over the region at 143. How accurate has it been in recent years?
We're running, really depends, but we tended to run a little bit behind the final USDA yield, perhaps maybe 1 or 2% below. There are other factors besides the weather that affect us. Some years we have insect problems that the model does not take into account, although some of that's reflected by the weather. But those are probably the unknowns that affect it. But we've tended to be a little bit below what the final yield is.
We appreciate you being with us.
All right, Todd.
Thanks much. Steve Hilbert is with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Joined us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Friday afternoons. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning for Commodity Week, when we'll talk with the folks at USDA NASS about today's crop production report. Well, and if you can't wait, you can always pick it up off our website at willag.org. It'll be there by about 6 o'clock this evening. Be sure to tune in tomorrow at 11:30 for Commodity Week, or pick it up off the website tonight. And you can also pick up all the programming you hear, at least the ag programming, right there on our web at willag.org. You have a great weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.